So what are we looking at here?
Well, all these folders are folders of letters and family papers that my father put together, and he passed away in 1984. So, but I had never really looked through it to any great degree, which is kind of a shame, but nonetheless true. Anyway, what he did was organize, because that's the kind of person he was, all these documents of both his side of the family and some of my mom's. And so they go all the way back to 1820 in Scotland. And then on my mother's side of the family, he put together letters that were from either side. And so I have those copies too. And this one, my parents went to Medelia, Minnesota in 1980, where they visited cousins. That's where my grandfather was born, my mother's father was born. And they went to see the cousins, but also my great-grandfather had started the Hage Lumber Company. And when he came over from Norway in 1867. So it grew to be in five different states. It was a large lumber company. And he built over 30 homes in the Medelia area. And then they didn't, you know, he didn't keep them all.
And these are some of those.
These are pictures of some of those homes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's a family headstone there. And this is a Lutheran church that he helped build in 1870, or I guess it's Presbyterian. And then here's my great-grandfather's cemetery stone. He died in 1923. My mother's mother was born into a family that her grandfather was very successful here in the Northwest. He came
from a background of lumbering and seafaring, and so he came up to the Northwest, and he was here in 1850, I think, first.
And that was this gal's father?
No, this was this lady. This is my mother. He was her grandfather.
Okay.
Yeah.
He came from Maine in 1859, and he started with Pope and Talbot at the lumber mill over in Port Gamble. And he became very successful in lumber, but also in shipbuilding. His name was Daniel Batchelor Jackson.
Yeah. And here we have a picture of my great-grandfather Jackson with his wife, Mary Adeline Rowell Jackson. And she had three sons when she and grandfather were still living in the East in Maine. And she also had a little girl who died. Father got himself established out here, what he sent for grandmother. And there is some story that she came across the Isthmus of Panama in the train, but I have also heard that she came with her sister, Lydia. And I have also heard from another source in the family that she came around the Horn in a sailing vessel, which makes more sense to me because coming across the Isthmus of Panama was very dangerous because of the yellow fever, mm-hmm. And it was a very difficult trip. It was a difficult trip coming around the Horn, too, but a sailing vessel was a little bit more healthy than coming through the fever-infested jungles of Central America. So I kind of subscribe to the sailing vessel story. anyway, the boys' names were Henry, Charles, and Leslie. And Henry and Charles followed the sea, but Leslie became postmaster in Port Gamble, which is where great-grandfather Jackson was the superintendent of the cedar mill. And the boy that I showed you just before, George Franklin Evans, was a timekeeper, and that's how he met grandmother. And grandmother was their first child born in the West, and she was May Emma Jackson.
Did they have any other children?
Oh, they had 9 children in all. They had Henry and Charles and a little girl and Leslie, and then May, and then they had twins that died in infancy, and then they had Lottie, who married William Guptill, who was a sea captain, and they did not have children. Lottie was not well. She lived her life an invalid, but of course she lived to be quite old and seemed to be perfectly healthy. And then they had William, who went away to military school, and I have a picture of him in his uniform. He was a very handsome young man, and he went duck hunting with a friend when he was 19 and was lost. And the only record that they had was they found the boat upside down on Hood Canal. Oh. They never found their bodies. He was the youngest. So it was a terrible.
So he died, and who else was with him that died?
I have it written down, the name of the young man that was with him. He was a very close friend, yeah. In fact, Betty has kept contact with that family, because Betty's lived here all her life, and Betty is my first cousin, of course, and she's just the same age I am. Now, shall I tell more about Grandfather Jackson?
Yes, please do.
Well, Grandfather Jackson was quite an adventurous young man. When he was 13, he shipped out on a sailing vessel as a cabin boy and went to Central America, and he stayed there for 3 years. I don't really know that anybody knows exactly what he was doing there, but he was working, mm-hmm. saving his money, came back, and he and Grandmother Jackson, for whom I'm named, were married when they were both 19.
Wow.
And early marriage was very much the thing in those days because, you know, lifespan was short, but it wasn't short for them. Great-grandmother Jackson lived to be 93.
Wow.
But great-grandfather only lived to be 63. He became ill with diabetes, and they didn't know how to treat it.
Right.
So he died. And he had been extremely successful. He bought square miles of land, of course, up around Hood Canal, and owned timberland. And he also started the shipping business on Puget Sound. He had 2 beautiful passenger boats, and he went down to San Francisco, built a beautiful home in San Francisco, and 3 smaller houses it's called the Seattle Block. And the home that he built is now one of the most famous of the restored Victorians in San Francisco.
Why was it called the Seattle Block?
Because it was built by a man
from Seattle.
From Seattle.
Oh.
Yeah.
What else do you have here? There's a couple of letters.
Yeah, these are letters that my great-great-grandmother Jackson wrote to her daughter when my great-great-grandparents moved to San Francisco, and my great-great-grandfather headquartered his shipping company there. So she was writing to her daughter, my great-grandmother, who lived in Seattle at the time. It's from San Francisco, June 18th, 1895. My dear child, I received your welcome letter today. I am so glad that you and the children are better, and I would like to have been home with you when you, I'm not sure what that word is, but could not go about coming to Seattle. It will depend on what I can do with this house. Oh, this must have been after my great-great-grandfather died. I will not rent my things here.
And after he died, his sons just sold off stuff to live on. They didn't seem to have any of his business sense. And there was plenty of money for grandmother to live out her days comfortably. And as I say, she lived to be 93.
It is as cold and windy here as ever. We have not had a warm day this month. Give my respects to George and kiss the children for me. Goodbye from your loving mother. So that was written in 1895.
I remember her. I remember when coming down from Vancouver or from British Columbia to visit here in Seattle and going to see her. She lived in a bungalow up on the first hill. And she had someone, a companion that lived with her all the time. She was quite ill with arthritis, and I remember her getting up out of her platform, black leather platform rocker, and holding on to various things as she walked. But she was a very old lady, and she always had coconut or Brazil nuts or something like that for the children when they came to visit.
Really fun and exotic.
Uh-huh.
How old were you when you
He left an awful lot of real estate.
Your great-grandfather.
My great-great-grandfather left an enormous amount of real estate, but apparently not a lot of cash. So, and his sons sold the real estate off over the years, which always irritated one of my cousins who, from my mother's generation, who had wished that some of it had been left, because there was like four pages, single space typed pieces of property that my great-great-grandfather had purchased and had in his estate. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
when it's gone, it's gone.
When it's gone, it's gone. And that's sort of the way life works.